Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
You guys doing good? If you got a Bible, you turn to Matthew chapter 10. Where's Ron at? Come on up, Ron. Kevin, why don't you come on up while you're here? Sarah, why don't you come on up? Corey, why don't you come on up? We're going to share a couple testimonies and just kind of see what God has to do today. Amen. You guys good? Yeah? You having a good time? You loving Jesus? You guys kind of sit on the stage there real quick. Just have a seat. Sarah has a dress on, so let's get her nice and covered. You guys in Matthew chapter 10? How's it feel up here, guys? Yeah? Thanks, Isaac. My boy right there. You guys good? Had a meeting with an apostle one time, and this is, you know, there's various, we've talked about this, there's various levels of apostolic ministry. There's people who have an apostolic anointing, kind of with a small A. And there's people with an apostolic anointing with a capital A, where they're received all over the planet. I had a meeting with a big A apostle one time, and he said to me, he said, often behind the door of heresy is a truth being revealed. I mean, what does that mean? When you see a great heresy that's being spread in the church, often the Lord is trying to spread a truth and the enemy has hijacked it. Let me give you an example. In the late 60s, early 70s, there was the teaching of the shepherding movement. Anybody heard of the shepherding movement? Now, the shepherding movement was one that started with seemingly good intentions. What they said was people shouldn't have to make decisions on their own. And so we should have spiritual fathers and mothers that help people make decisions, to which I would say amen, right? Look, sounds good to me, right? Sounds good, right? Yeah, sounds good. You guys up here, yeah? That sounds good, right? But what it quickly became was a lot of people running other people's lives, which is not good. I'm not in favor of that. And so because of that, there's whole generations who've come along who don't want anybody giving them any advice because they equate it all with the shepherding movement. Now, what's interesting about that is that was the same time as the apostolic restoration, the same time of the fathering movement that came into the church. The enemy saw what God was doing and perverted it with heresy, which is, you can't make decisions on your own, you need me. Now, we know the truth is there's no mediator between God and man other than Christ Jesus, right? But there was also a truth being revealed that Father was restoring these spiritual fathers. You're with me, right? And so we see in the church today, this happens over and over and over again. And there's a great heresy in the church today. and I don't want to get into fine details of it, but there is a perversion of the truth that has to do with grace. And the way this is taught when it's not correct is that grace is so wonderful that you never have to do anything in reaction to it. You never need to repent. You never need to stop sinning. You never need to turn away from anything and toward God. You just don't have to do any of those things because grace is so amazing. And I would say that's incorrect. Is anybody with me? What I do believe God is doing, though, is he is restoring a true understanding of what grace is. And more importantly, he's giving people rest from their religious works. Now, it's true that I can't earn any more favor with God. Would you say amen to that? How do we get favor with God? Grace. People say, yeah, you know, it's by grace, but you have to. No, all you have to do is respond and do whatever he tells you to do. That's what you have to do. Are you with me? And so what we have to figure out is, if I'm not on this planet to earn God's favor, why am I here? Because I'm here for a reason. I don't know about you. I'm here for a reason. I'm not here to just live until I die. I'm not just here to mark time until Jesus comes and sucks me up with the cosmic vacuum cleaner and I leave the earth and then he burns it up. That's not why I'm here. He did not create me to kill me. He did not create me to judge me. He did not create me to be an object of his wrath. He created me to be an object of his love. He created me so that I can bear the presence of God on the earth and show this world that my God lives. Are you with me? Are you with me? We're together on this, yeah? Hallelujah. You guys happy? You guys happy? You should be happy. So we see in Matthew chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 7, folks back there, I believe we are. He says in verse 7, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. That sounds pretty clear, right? I want to give a couple examples, and then we're going to go back into the scripture, okay? So we're in our Saturate conference, right? And Corey and I went to go get some water because we were thirsty, right? Why don't you come up and tell a little story with the microphone. Just pray for Corey. Just give him a big God bless you right now, if you would. Just God bless. Yeah. Give him a clap. Come on. Yeah. Cheer him on. Right here, Corey. It's like the carrot, right? The carrot is here waiting for you. Every preacher, this is the carrot. Okay, before Corey starts, look at your neighbor and say, are you here? I just point at Corey, because you know what he needs right now? He needs more of God, don't you think? More. Go ahead, Corey. Share your story.
Good morning. All righty. So yesterday, I think we were going on hour. We were going on what, hour 30?
Yeah, we've been at, yeah.
About 30. And we were just thirsty, so we walked over to the BP that's in the next parking lot over from where the church office is. And we had just finished watching the movie Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, which is a movie about Holy Spirit. And it was good. There was good stuff in there. There were some miracles. There were some exciting things, you know, people hearing God, people taking steps of faith, doing things for Jesus. But like you said in this morning's meeting, it seemed like normal Christianity, right?
Uh-oh. You're doing good, Corey. Don't worry. He's not going to hit the guitar. He's a guitar player. Don't worry. The guitar is safe.
So we walk over to the BP, get some water, get a Snickers, and there's a guy behind the counter.
It really satisfies.
And so, yeah. When you're hungry, I mean, it's not you when you're hungry. Thanks, Alex. It's not you. Snickers helps. What's happening? So we walked over
yeah, man. Woo! What's happening right now, Corey? What's going on? If you can help the people understand why you're not talking coherently.
It's have you ever been tickled? And you tried really hard. to not completely lose it, because there might have not been a restroom nearby.
Wow.
It's kind of like that.
So we're at the BP.
So we're at the BP, and we go to check out, and there's this guy there working behind the counter, and he's listening to some music, some upbeats.
Bachata?
Bachata. Yeah. La 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 bamba.
What he said?
No, and, it's not La Bamba. Go ahead. Most racist thing I ever heard.
Yeah, it was good.
Bachata.
All right. And, man. And we just strike up a conversation with this guy, and right away, Pastor Carl and myself, we knew God wanted to do something. We knew that God wanted to touch this man. And we asked him, we told him we work for a church nearby, and said, hey, is there anything we can pray for you for? Do you have any pain in your body, I think was the question. He said, yeah, I actually have really bad heart problems. And we're like, oh, that's awesome. Jesus heals heart problems. You know, Jesus conquered sin on the cross and death in the grave. And when he conquered death, he conquered everything under that. And your heart qualifies. So we're going to pray for that. And we begin to pray for this guy. And you can see his the Holy Spirit's touching him. He has his eyes closed, and his eyes start to well up. As God's just touching him, and we're just declaring healing over his heart. And then we got some words of knowledge about his mom, that he
it was about him worrying about his mom.
Yeah, it was about him worrying about his mom. And the word was basically just, God cares about your mom. And he knows your heart for your mom, and that matters to him. Like you worry about your mom, and Jesus cares about her too. And he hears your worry. He hears your what you're going through. And we had some other words for him about his mom. And you could just tell that the Holy Ghost was really ministering to him, and that little thing, like, hey, God cares about your mom more than you. And he hears you know, your heart's cry for her.
And so at the end, after we pray for him, we're like, how do you feel? Like, I feel happy and I feel light. Wow. Spirit of God had touched him. And we told him we're going to come back. We'll follow up and cast the devil out of him. But, you know, until then, you can sit next to your wife for a minute. Kevin, come on up. Give it up for Corey, everybody. Do they have the picture or no?
No, I just sent it to you. Oh. And Mikey.
Go ahead.
So I was at the gas station this morning, the gas station Shell.
This morning.
Not BP. So I walked in, and the cash register guy, he had a neck bracelet on.
Bracelet or a brace?
Brace. It's okay. Always happens.
There's a difference.
Neck brace.
Bracelet is different than a neck brace. How many of you know?
The email says brace. Had a neck brace on his neck.
As opposed to
not having
a neck brace
one.
On his elbow.
His elbow. So he had it on his neck, and so it's like, oh, let me go pray for him, see what happens. And so I, you know, there's the line, and I went yesterday after watching the Holy Ghost movie and saturate and just be in the presence of the Holy Ghost. Mikey and I went to Publix. And he wanted to minister to somebody, and he just took his time, and that really meant a lot to me. Like Mikey taking his time to minister to somebody, so I wanted to take my time. I was just like, man, if Mikey can do it, I can do it too. And so I just waited for the whole line, and just like really felt like God was going to do something, and I felt really encouraged to wait for this guy and just love on him. And so I wait for the line, and I'm just like, hey, I was like, what happened to your neck? And he was like, oh, I just had surgery. And I was like, are you in pain? He's like, yeah, I can't lift my shoulder past this. Right. So I was like, oh, man. I was like, can I pray for you? He's like, yeah. So I prayed for him. And he's like, how do you feel? And he was like, oh, my goodness, I can move it higher than before. This is awesome. He's like, thank you so much. I'm like, yeah, we're not done. Let's just keep going for more. So and he had back problems, and just the whole surgery was to do with some kind, I don't know what it was, but he had limited movement in his upper body. And so I was like, we're going to go for more. So when I prayed for more and just released the fire of God and just had a word knowledge about the Father and stuff like that, and he started getting wrecked. I'm like, oh, man, this is awesome. And I was like, what happened? He's like, I can move it now. I couldn't do this before, and I had all this pain, and it's not there. And he's like, matter of fact, I want to take this brace off. So he takes off his brace, And I'm just like, how do you feel? He's like, I feel great. He's like, typically people come and ask me how I do, and I say good, but I lie to them. And you, I'm not lying to you. I'm like, I actually feel good. I'm like, oh, thanks. You know, I appreciate that. You're not lying. I don't have to ask. He's like, no,
so
no.
Kevin sent me a picture this morning of a man standing behind the counter holding his neck brace. Come on, give it up. Come on, give it up.
That's awesome.
You can sit back down. Thank you. Travis, can you share that testimony you shared with me yesterday? Can you share it without preaching? All right, come on. Sure. You only get one mic, though. She can't preach either. And it's two people, but the same amount of time. Say what's up to Travis and Kellyanne, everybody. They're part of Team Thomas. Just the wrong Team Thomas, but that's all right now.
So yeah, I just got hired at a pool service cleaning company, which is awesome. And my boss is like an on fire Christian, which I've never had one before, and that's really cool. I mean, talking about, you know, fair pay and we want integrity, all that stuff. It was just like, wow, this is so cool. And they were actually going to help us out with some bills and stuff that we needed too. So they're just going to bless us off the top. They didn't know us yet, which we were blown away by. So they said, come over to our house and we'll talk about all that and do all that. And we said, great. In the middle of that, he also said, oh yeah, my wife has serious like gastrointestinal problems, and she's in chronic like 5 out of 10 or 4 out of 10 type pain all the time. But when she eats, it's like an 8 or a 9. It's like excruciating pain every meal that she eats. It's been like this for, what was it, 12 years?
She's had 12 years of chronic pain, like 12 years. And we were just like, oh my gosh. And so we were telling testimonies because they had never heard of healing. And they were asking me about Africa, and I'm like, yeah, actually, we saw blind people heal, like, you know. And they were like, oh. So they're like,
here's what's funny. I've been a Christian forever, but I didn't see anything about healing in the book that they give the Christians.
Yeah. So we were just
like we have a book, and it's all over it. You know what I mean? Like,
that's what
it's
we
all
said.
Over
we're
our
like,
manual.
It says if you become like children, then you inherit the kingdom. So we're like, we just believe that you can heal because it says in the Bible that you heal the sick. So we're like, we'll pray. And so I was just like, can we just bind the spirit of pain? And she's like, okay. And so we bind it. And literally she's like, oh my gosh. She's like, I feel this like cloud lifting immediately it left.
Yeah.
12 years gone in a moment.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Say that last part again. Say that last part again, Kelly.
12 years of chronic pain gone in one moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they heard you. Why don't you say that again?
Okay. 12 years of chronic pain.
Hallelujah.
And her husband got filled with the Holy Spirit right after that.
What? Say that again.
And her husband got filled with the Holy Spirit and started crying tears right after that. Thank you, Jesus.
They had a good day.
Don't go anywhere. Okay.
It's so nice up here. I'm like.
All right. Why are they doing that? Because that's what happens when God tickles you. When I had little kids, they would run to me and I'd tickle them. I'd be like, you're so cute, I'm going to tickle you. And he says to come to him like children, right? That's good work, Corey. That's a good excuse. He's tickling me. Yeah, how come he's not tickling me? Maybe you're not a good little kid. I don't know. I'm joking, probably. But if you've had chronic pain in your body for at least, give me a number, Travis, Kellyanne, 5 years.
Yeah.
If you've had chronic pain in your body at least 5 years, I want you to stand up.
Yeah.
Hey. You didn't have to be like, you know, you got a broken neck, though we're going to call that out in a second.
Okay. Yeah.
If you've been in pain for 5 years, and here, this person was a 4 or 5. It doesn't have to be like, you know, you got hit by a truck and you got a bone sticking out of the side of your leg, you know. God cares about everything.
Yeah.
At least 5 years. Anybody else? Liars. Come on. 5 years.
Oh.
All right. Why don't you guys pray?
Oh.
Yeah. We just bind the spirit of pain and we command it to leave these bodies in the name of Jesus. We just declare complete healing. We say the blood of Jesus covers every disease and every illness. And by his stripes we are healed. So be healed in the name of Jesus.
Be healed. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet.
Healing fire of God, come immediately in the name of Jesus. Every chronic pain in this room, leave in the unstoppable name of Jesus. cannot be held back. Your healing cannot be held back in the name of Jesus.
I feel like he's touching eyes right now. There's something wrong with your eye. Like there might be a stigmatism. There might be a pain, or maybe you got something in your eye. I just feel like the Lord is healing eyes right now. Let's just continue to lean into this, shall we? Shall we just lean into healing? Shall we just? And I believe a right ear right now. The Lord is beginning to heal a right ear. Are you starting to get words of knowledge yet? Yeah. Come on up. Get up. Get some. Hallelujah. Come on. Just lean into this for a second. Andres, you getting anything yet? You let me know. Come on, let's just lean into this. Let's just see if God can heal some people. If you're in pain, I want you to start checking your body. Hey, listen, there's some people right now, we didn't call you out, but you're already healed. You came in here with a problem. Begin checking yourself. Is there faith in the room? All right, come on, let's lean into this. Check your body. You came in with something. You might have had a knee problem. You might have had a back problem. Begin to check, because I feel like the healing power of God is already here.
Yeah. Left side of the like ribs, around the ribs, and the left side of your torso, around this area. The left foot.
What's wrong with the foot?
Like chronic, sometimes hard to move. It stiffs, and it's like this nerves, like kind of pain, maybe like a pain shooting down from your left side. Yeah. But I got the ribs, and I got the left foot kind of by the ankle. Is that you? Yeah. Okay. Who's the ribs? Who's the left side of the torso, the stomach?
Who's the ribs?
That's
you?
That's you.
Be healed.
Choom.
Right there. There it is, right there. Right there. Yeah, there you go.
Whoa.
Yeah? Who's the right ear? There's something, God is doing something in somebody's right ear right now.
Right ear?
Yeah, right ear.
Like migraines too, and sometimes headaches and stuff like that? Yeah?
Oh. There you go, stand up. Anybody else? Migraines? Any other migraines? Migraines are easy. Any other migraines? Be healed right now. Be healed right now. How are you feeling? Can you two go pray with them? Oh, it's going to go away. If it can come, that means it can go. That's a wonderful thing about guests. They come, but they can go. Is this okay for everybody? You getting bored or are we all right? Yeah. How you feeling? You feel anything yet? You don't have any pain right now? All right, walk around a little bit. How you doing? Where does the pain? Where's the pain in your body? Your elbow? How's it feel right now? Is it the same? The same or is it a little bit? Kevin, can you go pray for him? Did you have the elbow?
No, I didn't have the elbow.
Okay, pray for him anyways. Did you have something, Corey, or did you already share it? You have something? Well, get a microphone and share it. You guys okay? Are you guys happy?
Yeah.
Anastasia, go pray for Lillian.
Hey.
She's going to get a vision, so just pay attention. You sharing something?
Yes.
We can be the church for a minute, right? Can we be the church for a minute, or do we have to go to church? Go ahead.
There's at least one person in here with you have pain in your right shoulder,
yeah.
But it's kind of in between the
right
neck
here.
And the shoulder.
Yeah, and it bothers your collarbone even. And
your
it's right in here and it shoots up your right side
your
of your
muscle
neck.
Here.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Who is that?
God spoke that to me first thing this morning,
who
so it might
that?
Be more
is that
than
you?
One person.
Good Lord, stand up.
Yeah.
Wow.
It might be more than one person, but...
No, stay there. Stay there. You're good.
Jesus. And also, I saw there's someone in here that you got in a car accident and it's affected the left side of your body. Left shoulder, maybe hip, left hip, caught in a car accident, inspected the left side of your body.
Start moving your right arm around.
Is that anybody?
It's already starting to get healed. It's probably already a little bit better. But
Jesus.
Car wreck, left side of the body. Who is that? You sure? Oh, that means that's a Revival Life double play right there. You're guaranteed right there.
Jesus.
that's the double play. What happened, Anastasia? She feels a little better or a lot better? A lot better? Praise you. Did you get a vision? Did she get, was it good? The vision good? Amen. You guys okay? Can we just do this for a little bit more? Is that all right?
Jesus.
He got healed? How is it?
Hallelujah.
Yeah? Come here. Let's hear about it. Go pray for her if you would. Jesus, you're beautiful. Okay, so what happened? What was wrong?
I have pain here.
From work?
Yes.
He installs flooring, so if you need a wood or laminate flooring installed. And across the interwebs up there. Okay. Go ahead. So what happened with your elbow? Yeah.
Now? Now it's okay.
Now it's okay?
That's good. Yes. So now I have that one. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah right here.
Hallelujah.
That was a test right there. That was that elbow. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. 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 All right. How you doing over there? You good? Why don't you two stand up? You and your husband there. They said, I never got called out for a word on Sunday before. You guys can sit down, if you know, or just continue to receive, whatever you want to do.
I hear God saying that you two are coming into a very interesting season. And if you just let him lead you, it's not going to be as hard as the past season of your life has been. I know you guys follow God. I know you believe in Jesus. I know you're saved. But I feel like there's just a level of letting him lead you and guide you that you haven't walked fully in yet. And in this next season, it's going to be really good. But you have to let him lead you. You have to let him, you know.
What's that look like, Sarah? Come on. Go in. Lean into that.
It looks like. I see the two of you sitting down at like a dinner table and you're making decisions, but instead of just the two of you making decisions, Jesus is sitting at the table with you. And it's, you know, the three of you are having a conversation and you're really going in on asking God, okay, what does it look like? What are we supposed to do in this? And it might look like every little thing you might think is silly to ask God about, just do it. Just ask God every single decision, every single thing, ask him and your season's going to be really good.
Yeah. And here's the power in that word. What the Lord told me right before she started talking about sitting at the table, what has been really blocking, or no, let me say it this way. What has been a block to your prosperity is a lack of agreement.
Wow, got that.
So, marriage is hard. Anybody know that?
Yeah.
Has anybody discovered?
Not for us, but
no. It's not as easy as they said it would be. You know, it was great for about 3 hours, and then it got hard. And then that's where we find the wisdom in Adam. It's this woman you gave me, God. It's this woman you brought me. It's funny how she's the problem after, you know. Anyway. So what you two have to discover is that God brought you together for a reason.
Yeah.
And each of you has a little of the God wisdom stored in you.
Amen.
And stop asking your spouse to see the God wisdom in you and start looking for the God wisdom in them.
Good.
You know, and that's not just specific for you. It's just, but I really feel like it's this power of agreement between the two of you. As long as the enemy can divide, you can keep your prosperity from coming. And it's just been a plot. I really see Xavier. I see you going from lots of work to a career.
Come on.
And there's just been a block.
Come on.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
It's God's desire to fund the ministry of kingdom men.
Come on.
That's good. That's good.
I mean, it is his absolute desire, but we have to be mindful of the kingdom, right? And part of being a kingdom man is redeeming the value of the others around us, not letting everybody see how awesome we are, right? And so as you cultivate this agreement and the ability to draw the good, God is going to really pour just really great favor on your family. I just
That's
see this
good.
In an amazing way.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. Whoa. And Sully, it's going to get very exciting. I don't want you to get dismayed when it feels like you're living in a dryer. or the spin cycle of a washing machine. It feels violent, but it's good. In the end, you're clean. Amen? That's a good word right there. Amen. You can say, give it up for the Ortiz family. Before we move on, I have an announcement to make. Andres Perez proposed to Jennifer De Jesus. And she said yes. Please stand if you would, both of you. Bless them real good. Bless them real good. Andres is one of my favorite people on the planet. We have been, and I said this last week, but he gets a twofer because his bride was serving. So he gets a twofer announcement last week and this week. And his folks are here today. So it's all the better, right? Hey, and you young parents who are first generation Christians or, you know, really the first generation walking in a loving Christian home, not that your parents weren't great Christians, and you're just kind of trying to toil, to just trying to figure out how to raise your kids. Look at Andres. You know, he's got love. His parents love Jesus. And you just see the grace on him because of their intercession. You see the favor on his life because of his godly parents. And you want to look at people like this and say, this is what we're striving for. Right? The boy just walks in favor. Just walks in favor and grace. We have you probably don't know this about him, but we have a little joke around here because we meet people all over town that we witness to. And they'll be like, oh, I've been invited to your church. And they're like, oh, who invited you? Like, oh, Andres, do you know him? I'm like, oh, you might as well just come get saved because it's over for you. You got no chance, right? We say that all the time. Like, you got no, Andres, It's like when the pit bull launches on your neck, you just, you know, like, oh, I'm going to guess I'm dying because it's it. That's it. He's not letting go. That's it. And so Andres walks in great favor. We've gone to countries together. He's turned me on the new hair gel, and he's just done amazing. He's greatly affected my life. He's greatly affected my life. Everything that I am from my forehead up is because of Andres. You are the man. Look, Vanessa, I remember when I met Vanessa, who's two rows back. She was at Publix, and I met her, my wife and I. My wife had been invited to her church forever. We walk out to the van one time. I pray for her, and she's like, I've been invited to your church. By who? Andres. I was like, oh, you might as well come. You might as well come. And here she is. I'm here to tell you that. That's funny. That's a good word right there. You might want to have him pray for you. Or them, while they're here, before they leave. Amen? Yeah. Say, I'll just take it all right now. Took Andres' whole life, I'll just take it all right now. All right. You guys doing it okay still? Yeah. Okay, we're almost out of time. I'm going to preach here in a second, but what you got, Sarah?
Natalia, can you stand up? I have never had a word like this before.
Welcome.
I feel like you've seen God. I know you've seen God. I know you've seen him in visions, and I know you've seen him, but I just, I feel like Jesus is ready to show you his eyes today.
Oh, that's a good word.
And I see as you look into them, your life can't be the same. I feel like there's steps that God is calling you to take, and it's scary, but as long as you can look at his eyes.
Wow.
It's not going to be scary because you're going to be able to look at him and walk. And I know you've seen God, but I feel like Jesus is really just ready to show you his eyes today.
So we release that.
So I release that. Father, I release the ability to see your eyes. Just as you've shown me, God, that that she would see her eyes, Jesus. Cynthia, can you stand up? Happy birthday. When I saw this, I know it's your birthday, but I didn't think of it. I don't know. But I just saw Jesus knock at your door and just hand you this huge box. But, when you opened it, it was just like, it wasn't an actual physical present. It was just, he was giving you gifts to walk out in things at work and things in your life and things. I just saw specifically you were able to see. And there was just just this gift of compassion that was being, as soon as you opened the box, it just flooded you. And I just saw you broke down, but it was not a bad breaking down. It was a breaking down that was necessary to walk in that, ability to see, to walk in that gift of compassion. Whoa.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. There's people over here petitioning for a prophetic word. That's the funniest thing in the world. It doesn't work that way.
Nope.
In this church. All right, Ron.
I have a very general word.
No, you don't. Don't say that.
No? Okay. I feel like there are a couple people here who you have some very estranged relationships in your life.
What is that? What was that word again?
Estranged. Well,
you have relationships that are, you're estranged from somebody in your life.
You're estranged from somebody from your life. You're apart from them for some reason or another. And it's bringing you a great deal of pain. And God wants to really bridge that.
Wow. Okay, now I know why he didn't tell you who that was. That's good.
And the thing is, what God wants to do is not so much as the work in the other person, so much as he wants to equip you to bridge that gap or to equip you to bring healing in that relationship.
Wow. So what are you going to do with that, Ron?
I'm just going to release that.
Go ahead. Do you want them to respond, or can they just sit where they're at and receive it in their heart? Do you think they need to stand? What do you think they need to do?
If that's you right now, you can raise your hand if you're comfortable.
Stand.
Yeah,
that's
if you would just stand.
Go ahead and stand up if that's you, and we're going to pray for you. And don't be nervous. You're like, oh, everybody's going to know now that my mom hates me. No, nobody's going to know what this is about. Why don't you just receive this if you're estranged from someone that God wants you to be connected to. And we're going to receive healing. And
I feel like there's more still. Okay. I feel like there's one other person. No.
That's not it,
no.
They can keep standing, but...
Yeah.
Keep doing that until you feel a release.
Okay.
Wait for your peace. Hey, this is like a teaching hospital, right?
Yeah.
They're doctors, but there's people there. Yeah. You good? You good?
Yeah. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And I thank you, Lord, for your heart. And I thank you, Lord, for your heart on relationship and who you have been to us and how you just restored the relationship. You took the steps to restore the relationship between us and you. You took the steps to bridge the gap between us and you. You took the step. You loved us first. And I just pray, Father God, everyone here, Lord, who responded to this word, that you would just equip them, Father God.
Ah.
Whatever that looks like, that you would equip them, Lord, to just bridge the gaps in their lives and those relationships, those very specific relationships, to help them mend the fences, Lord, to help them be healing presence in that relationship, Lord Jesus. And I just pray, Father God, for those people, the other side of that, Lord Jesus, for just open hearts, vulnerable hearts, Lord Jesus, and just...
If you're near them, stretch a hand. You're the ministry team here. Don't give them advice and don't tell them what to do and don't rub their back. But be in agreement that God is healing something here.
And that you would just, Lord, that you would just... That you,
there you go. You need this with the anointing, not out of your brain.
Lord.
You see it now?
Yeah. I pray, Lord, that you would just reach in, Lord, and that you would begin healing with everyone in here.
There you go.
That the healing would begin with the people who responded first, Lord. And that the hearts would be mended and the cracks in the hearts would be filled. Okay. And Father, I just prophesy healing. I just declare healing right now in the hearts of the people who respond. Healing. Oh, I declare whole hearts. I declare whole hearts. I declare restored hearts, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you would show them, Lord, what strength looks like in what true strength looks like in a relationship, Father.
That's a good word right there.
Yeah. What true strength looks like, Father God.
Release some joy and hope.
And Father, I just release your joy.
Let them see hope walk into this thing. Let your hope walk into this estranged relationship, Jesus.
Yes.
Let them see your hope walk in. What does it look like when your hope walks in? What does it look like when your hope walks in? Let them have a hope in this relationship, Father. We release a hope. Believers, pray with me. Come on. These are people. If you're separated from somebody you love, this would be a big deal. You want people praying for you. Come on. Let there be hope walk into this, Jesus.
Yes.
Let the God of all hope walk in. Let them see you walk in, Jesus.
Yes.
Come on. Jesus.
Jesus. Oh, wow. All right.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good. Amen. I'm seeing a river right now. Just roll in.
Prophesy.
Oh, Lord, that's your river.
You see it. Don't pray for it. You see it.
Lord, I see just a river. I see a river just rolling in.
What happens where the river goes? What's the Bible say?
It's bringing life to the hearts.
Yeah,
that's life. Responding to the river. It's bringing life.
Yeah, where there's death in that relationship, there's life coming. Yeah, no, give it up. Come on. We see life coming into those relationships supernaturally. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. All right, you can put the mic up. Give it up for your ministry team here. Don't be bitter if they didn't prophesy over you. If you didn't get the ministry you wanted, you can track down Andres' parents at the end of... Okay, I'm gonna quickly share this, and then we're going to go and get ready to get saturated some more. Amen. Okay, if you're a guest here today, God brought you for a reason, amen? He wanted to demonstrate something. And so we have these disciples that Jesus sent out. Now, I don't know how this happens, but I make the joke that Jesus is a central figure in the New Testament. He's pretty important in the New Testament, right? And he's not just important because of his death on the cross, which is pretty important. Can we agree? But everything he did was important because... He did things the way God does them, because he's God, right? And what I want you to see here is he gave really clear instructions. I'm amazed at how many people say the Bible is the instruction book for living, yet don't follow the instructions on exactly what Jesus told his disciples to do. If it is the instruction book for living, then we really should listen to what our Creator said our instructions are. The red words are really, really important. Amen? And so we see here in Matthew chapter 10, it says that he talked to his disciples. Do we have any disciples in the room? Any disciples of Jesus in the room? And he says here, starting in verse 7, he says, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I got three really quick things I want to show you in this scripture, then we're going to go. Amen? Jesus said, as you go. He is expecting you to get out of church and go somewhere and do something. Christianity was never... supposed to be built around Sunday morning. Sunday morning is not the pinnacle of Christianity. Sunday morning is not, let me say it again, I'm ready to rock some boats. Sunday morning is not the pinnacle of Christianity. This is not what we were created for. We were not created to leave the world and get together and talk about the terrible world. Let me say it this way. We were not created to get together and gossip about people who don't know Jesus. That's not what we were created for. That's not what we're on earth for. We're on earth to carry the presence of God into a lost and dying generation. That is what we're here for. The Bible says that we come here to get equipped to do that. Anybody here go to college or trade school or anything after high school? Anybody go to a school on purpose? Let me say it that way. Nobody went to high school on purpose. Did you go to school on purpose? You went to go get trained for something. You did not go to school to go to school, right? The biggest mistake young people make is they graduate from high school and they go to college just to go to college. And you graduate from college just having gone to college. Not equipped to do anything, right? But when you find out when you go to school later in life, you go to school with a purpose. Nobody goes to barber school saying, I don't know why I'm here. I just need to do something. I'm just going to school. No, I want to become a barber. Or I want to become a plumber. We did not go to church because that's what Christians do. Now listen, Christians go to church. But why do they go to church? We're supposed to go to church to be equipped to do the thing that God has called us to do. That's why we're supposed to go to church. We don't go to church because that's what Christians do. All right. I'm going to say this again, and I think it's offensive every time I say it, and it's not meant to be. Jesus didn't die on the cross. Hear me. Hear the whole statement before you judge me. He didn't die on the cross just so we can be saved. Right? He died on the cross so we can come into relationship with him. In order for us to come into relationship, we got to get saved. It was the doorway. Jesus didn't say it's the end of the journey. The cross is not the end of your journey. My God, do I love it though. Amen? How many people remember getting saved? How many people haven't got saved, but today's the day? Okay. No. Anyways, but I there's nothing greater than salvation except for everything that comes after salvation. Salvation is not a one-day event. It's not a moment at the altar. Salvation is not just, I went to an altar call and I got saved and that's what, now I just go to church to, get, a little tune-up every week. Man, we're here for a reason. Jesus died so that we could cooperate on spreading his kingdom and his good news on the earth. I no longer do I call you servants, I call you friends. He's God, we're people. I don't want to denigrate, I don't want to lessen the cross, I don't want to lessen the sacrifice, I don't want to blaspheme that holy event and everything he paid. And if all you ever get is saved, I'm happy. If all you ever honor is the cross and you get saved, well, I'm happy. We're on the same team. Praise God. I'm not judging that at all. But I just got to believe there's a little bit more that he called you to. And the Bible says that the church is here to equip saints for the work of the ministry. That means you have a ministry, and he expects you to work it. And so he says here to his disciples, my first point here is go. 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 Do not be scared of the world. Don't be scared of sin. Don't be scared of sinners. Don't be scared of this, the big bad boogeyman devil that's going to get on you if you get around new age people or you get around your kid, you go around to public schools or that's just, my kids go to private school, but it's not because I'm scared of public schools. I felt like the Lord told us to do that. I've been in churches where, if you're really saved, you homeschool. And if you're not that spiritual, you go to Christian school. And if you don't really love your kids, they go to public school. It's just nuts. I'm not scared of sinners. You know why? Because I've seen their boss, and I'm just not that impressed. You know where he was? Under the feet of Jesus. Right? We touch things, they become holy. We were in a not great school district. And by not great, I mean awful. And when my kids had to go to this awful school, because that it is what it is, I became the president of the PTA. So I'm like, well, my son's going to be here. God's got me here. I'm going to be all up in that school. I'm walking the halls praying in tongues. We meet with the teachers, you know. No, we'd like a parent-teacher conference. No, your son's doing fine. I didn't ask you that. You see, as a parent, I'm in charge of my kid's education. The school's helping me. I'm not outsourcing my kids being raised. Wherever they're going to school, I'm still in charge. The doctor is helping me make sure my kids are healthy. I'm not saying you be in charge of my kids' health. I'm not telling the school you're in charge of raising my kids. I'm not saying, hey, I'm taking my kids to Revival Kids. It's your job to teach my kids about Jesus. No, all these people are helping me because I'm the one that God is going to ask what happened with my son. I'm not going to get to heaven and God say, you know, your boy, he went to a school and they didn't do a good job. I'm not going to say, I gave you this boy. What'd you do with him? Right? That's my job, right? And you know what? That means I'm graced to do it. Revival Kids isn't graced to teach my kids, you know, to take that responsibility off of me, right? The schools don't have a grace to take that responsibility off of me. I have that grace. You with me? I'm going on a rant here, and I don't really mean to, but I'm going to continue. I knew Mike and Lillian before. I knew them both before they got right with God. Then I knew them as individual single people, and I pastored both of them. And then they became a dating couple, and then I married them, right? We're together here, right? Before my voice in their marriage is the other one's voice in their marriage. Right? I can't come to Lillian and start giving her guidance and direction opposite of her husband. That's her husband's job. We have responsibilities. And God is expecting us to get equipped to do the things he's called us to do. You say, well, I can't raise the dead right now, you know? Well, what can you do? Well, you know, I prayed for somebody once a couple years ago and didn't get healed. Okay? Can you say something encouraging to people? Because there's your ministry right there. There's your ministry right there. You start encouraging people. But Jesus said very clearly, as you go, so he's expecting us to be going. And if he's expecting you to be going, you better figure out what it is you're going to do while you're going there. Better get equipped for it, right? Let's continue reading here. Matthew chapter 4, we're in verse 17, he says, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I got a bit of a pet peeve with Christians telling the world what's wrong with it. They know what's wrong with them. That's why they're avoiding us, because they don't want to hear more about it. Anybody got people in their lives that never have anything good to tell you? Do you avoid them or you take those calls? Can I be honest with you? There's people in my life like that, that when they call my phone number, it says it's disconnected. I got it set up. I just got to the place, I'm like, I'm just tired of dealing with your demons. If you want them, keep them. I don't want them. They call my number and it gives them a doo-doo-doo. This number's been disconnected. I don't even want them to try again. You think I'm joking? I'm not. I have other people just go straight to voicemail. Like, you're not helping me. And you're like, well, Pastor, you're supposed to be compassionate. At some point, I got to go on with my life. If you don't want what I have, stop contacting me. Oh, that's mean. I know it is, but there's only a couple people and I got to the end of my rope. I'm sorry. I'm just honest about it. The difference is I'm honest about it. But he tells us to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Is that good news or bad news? Good news or bad news? For those who aren't sure, that's why they call it the good news. And this isn't a special, super spiritual thing. The good news really is good. This is good news. And when you give somebody good news, they should be happy at the end. I've never gotten good news and been sad. I took the test on my pool last night after it being a swamp in my backyard, and I looked at the test, and the test was good news. And you know what? I got happy. I put on a bathing suit. My kids put on bathing suits. We jumped in. Then there was bad news. It was too much chlorine, and my eyes were burning. However, I did not get Ebola, and so we're good. It's still good news. It's very difficult for Christians. Can I tell you what the difficulty is with many Christians? They just don't think sinners deserve good news. You don't deserve good news. You're a wicked sinner. I mean, when I heard the good news, when I was a wicked sinner, that's different. That's completely different. But these wicked sinners, they need some bad news. They don't deserve good news. They need to be punished. And when they get equally punished by me, then they deserve mercy once they're on the ground realizing how terrible they are. They just really need to know how terrible they are, and I believe I am uniquely anointed to tell them how terrible they are so that God can pour out mercy on them. You see, God's mercy is not coming to overcome your judgment. No. He said, go and preach good news. You're like, good news, but I don't think they deserve it. They don't. Let me put it differently. We don't. We don't deserve good news. What if we were just judged by the bad we did today? Has anybody lost their temper in the last 24 hours? You ready to get judged for that? I mean, I'm not. I'm thankful for mercy. Are you? I'm very thankful for mercy. And so Jesus said, here's what I want you to do. Life is very difficult, and there's a lot of pressure, and you don't need more enemies than you can bear. Here's what I'm going to do. And you know, smart parents learn how to play good cop, bad cop. One lays down the law, one comes in as the rescuer. It's just how it works. You take turns. And so Jesus plays good cop, bad cop. Right? Here's how it works. He says, here's what I want you to do. You go out, because I'm very better at this than you are. You go out and you tell people all the wonderfulness. They'll fall in love with me. I'll come and fill them, and then I will change them. You're like, oh, but they have all these problems. Like, don't worry about the problems. I'll take care of that. I'll do all the heavy lifting. All you have to do is tell them the good news. And what's the good news? God loves you. But I'm very terrible. Just loves you. It's a very good God who loves you. That's all you have to do. That's our job, is to tell the world about this amazing God who wants to have a relationship and wants to dwell on the inside of them. That's it. Well, but you don't know what I did wrong. I read this book he wrote, and he said he took care of that. No, but I've been on drugs. I've been whatever. You know, I have same-sex attractions. Whatever they want to say. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Wait a minute. Were you mean to people? Yeah. Well, he took care of that. I read it. Well, I've murdered people. He took care of that. I can't come to God. I've been to church in years. Oh, he took care of that. You can come on. It's been covered. It's all been covered. Just come to him. And God's like, here I am. Right? And they come to him, and then they start changing. If you're trying to change people without the grace of God, that's called religion. Religion is when men make up rules and tell other people they have to live by the rules in order to be with God. And we couldn't make rules good enough for that. It's not our job. So he says, listen, you're going to go places. And those places you go, it's called your ministry. We watched, what was it, Holy Ghost, the name of the film? We watched this film yesterday, Holy Ghost, and it's great. It was a good film. You know, I don't have no criticisms. Here's my immaturity. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Andres, you used to work at, did you work at Publix? Okay, Andres worked at Publix, and he witnessed the people at Publix, right? That's what you're supposed to do, right? Ever have a film crew follow you around because you're telling people at work about Publix, about Jesus? No? You didn't do that? No. But if you're a rock star, and you tell people about Jesus at work, all of a sudden you're doing something amazing. They had a movie where a couple rock stars were at work telling people about Jesus. Okay, that's what we're supposed to be doing. I'm not criticizing the movie, but I don't think it's any greater that a rock star is telling his people at work about Jesus than Andres at Publix. Yeah. Right? Right? Oh, he's an actor, and he's saved. I'm like, okay. But you don't understand. Okay, help me out. He's an actor. Okay. Okay, I was on a video or a type chat with Comcast because I didn't want to sit on hold forever talking to them, and I'm typing with somebody somewhere on the planet, and we did their whole thing here. I told the story at Intro to Revival Life. You know, we did the whole order, took forever, and at the end of it, I got a word of knowledge about the person, and so I just started asking them about what's wrong with their body and what's wrong with their life, and told them I believe that we're on this chat because Jesus wanted to touch them and wanted to display his love in a practical way, and he was going to touch them, and they felt the presence of God. Wherever they are in the world, I don't even know where they were. But I know they're at work, and I don't want to jeopardize their job, and these things get audited and all that, and I don't want to do anything inappropriate because I know Jesus doesn't want to get them fired. Right? And so I just prophesied over them a little bit, and they just started thanking me over the chat. And no film crew. I'm just ordering cable. If I was a rock star ordering cable, I don't know, maybe a film crew would watch me do it and it would be something awesome. But here's the deal. Wherever you're called to, there's your ministry. And it's no more important than what I'm doing right now because it's what I'm called to. Where do you work? Where do you shop? Who do you interact with? Because you're going somewhere. And Jesus said, as you go, preach. As you go, preach. And you're like, well, I don't know what to say. Oh, it's right here in the manual. Shall we just continue? Can we continue? Is that all right? We're still in verse 17. I'm sorry, 7. He says, but rather go to the lost sheep. Okay. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. Now, this is the same message, coincidentally, that Jesus preached. We see in Matthew 4:17, as Jesus began his ministry, he goes out, he says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, listen, the way I read this scripture, you can't tell people to repent unless you're going to bring them the kingdom of heaven. Because they need to turn to something. Repentance here isn't turn away from sin. It's turn toward the kingdom. And if you can't bring the kingdom, you can't tell people to repent. Because they need to turn to something. What are they going to turn to? Are they going to turn from, I'm trapped in sin, I can't stop sinning, let me turn to self-control? We don't want them to turn from sin to religion. You know how hard it is to get someone free from religion? It's harder to get them free from religion than it is from sin. Religion is more of a stronghold than sin. At least sinners know they need something. The religious think they got everything. We better bring the kingdom and say, listen, I don't know if you know this right now, but the kingdom is right here. What? The kingdom. Well, I don't know what that means. Watch this. If you'll turn toward Jesus and away from what you're doing, the kingdom will be all over you. What does that look like? Do you have any pain in your body? Because in the kingdom, there's no pain. I'm going to release the kingdom. And as you turn your mind toward Jesus, you're going to be healed. Has anybody prayed for somebody and were surprised they were healed? All the time. Why? Because Jesus is the healer, not you. We just preach the kingdom. You ever pray for someone who has anxiety all the time and all of a sudden they feel peace for the first time? Because there's no anxiety in the kingdom. And so he wants you to go to people and you're like, Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to do that. That sounds very scary. Here's what I want you to do then. I have homework for you. We're a church of action. He tells us to go. He tells us to preach. And he tells us to show. We need to show people the kingdom is near them. And here's what I want you to do. This you can do. I want you to learn to get control of your mouth and say encouraging things to people. And as you learn to say encouraging things to people, and encourage is literally to give courage. As you learn to give encouraging words to people, God will begin to use your words to change lives. And eventually, you'll find yourself saying things like, God's going to heal your body right now. You'll be surprised it comes out of your mouth. Because God is an encourager. As you learn, some of the greatest ministry I've had is I'd just be in line at Walgreens, and I'll just be like,
Man, you've been going through some things, huh? I really believe Jesus wants to lift the burden. And all of a sudden, the presence of God falls on him. And you're like, wow, Jesus is awesome, huh? Yes. Welcome to the kingdom. Live for this. The gospel is very simple. We don't need to be super spiritual. We don't need to be weird. I don't need to blow shofar over people. I don't need a tambourine in a skin-tight bodysuit to dance around people. Now, if that's your ministry, you know, be free in your living room. Do that. It's funny how people want to do that at my work. Do it at your work. That's it. That's my message. We're going to pray, all right? I want you to go, and I want you to preach, and I want you to show people the kingdom. And God will do the change. Amen? Let's pray. Father, you're very, very good to us, and we love you bunches and bunches. We love you so much, Jesus. Because you save us, and then you still say, I'll do all the heavy lifting. I'll do all the work. Father, I thank you that we do not have to change people. That we just tell people about you, and you do all the change necessary. Because we don't even know what they need to change. All we can do is judge. And so, Father, I thank you that we don't have to be judgmental. I thank you that you free us from that. But, Lord, I pray right now that you would burden every man, woman, and child in this room to tell people about your kingdom, to invite people into your kingdom, to release the presence of God in the people around them. Father, I release this anointing upon them. Father, and I give them authority to give away the kingdom. Father, I give them authority and liberty to give away the gifts that you give. Right now, in the name of Jesus, that you would activate in them, and they would have a keen awareness of how you've gifted them to give away the kingdom. Right now, they have a keen awareness on how you have gifted them to give away the kingdom. Right now, the Lord is touching right now, that your fire would fall right now, Lord. Right now, that you would burn it. Some of you are experiencing something right now. I command the pain in the back to go right now. Right now, I command it to go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We do love you. Stand with me. We're going to pray, then we'll go. Put your hands out to God, if you would. Put them in front of you. Put them above your head. Whatever you need to do. We're going to continue to pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, these hands are yours. I give them to you. Tell me where to bring them. And who to offer your good things to. And I will obey. Use me as an agent of your grace. As an agent of forgiveness, as an ambassador of hope. Now, Lord, I ask you to burn it in them. Ha! Woo! Here we go. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Give a shout to God if you would. Okay, listen, if you need healing in your body and you did not get called out, I'm going to ask my life group leaders, come forward if you'll line up right here. If you'll come forward, including Lou, if you're here, come on forward. And if you need any healing in your body, if you have pain in your body, if you have oppression, if you can't get rid of some habit in your life that you hate, I want you to come on forward, and these people will pray for you, and you will be free. Money back guarantee. In Jesus' name. Amen.